Over the past several weeks, we have been considering in our evening services themes such as consecration, the theme of sacrifice. You know, God expects all of us who name the name of Jesus Christ to give to Him their all, to lay it all on the altar, and to hold nothing back from Him. It's easy for us who've been saved for any length of time to assent to those truths, to acknowledge them and say, yes, we know that is what the Lord expects. And at times we have experience where the Lord has truly gripped our heart through the Spirit of God by those truths. When that happens, typically it's easy for us to even respond in a way that is emotional, because once those truths really grip our hearts, we truly would understand all that God has given to us and our response to give it all back unto Him. But it's important that we remember that with every decision that we make, there is a corresponding duty. It is not that we can simply decide to change or to do this or that and not then continue to follow on and be faithful to that commitment. God wants you and I, as He leads and directs within our lives, as we make decisions for Him, to then faithfully follow in the commitments that we've made. All of us who have made a commitment to the Lord have experienced times in our lives when we've grown then discouraged. We've been tempted to go back on our decision, and we've been tempted to quit. At times it seems too hard. It almost seems impossible for us to accomplish that which God laid upon our heart. Obstacles are placed in our way. Trials and testings come. Friends forsake us. Family at times would even mock us and claim that it will never last. Those who have been praying for you and praying for me to make those kinds of decisions forget that the battle is just now beginning. There is a hard road ahead, and at times folks fail us because they stop praying for us and all of those things. Yet as we consider those truths and that reality, that gives us no excuse for not remaining faithful to the Lord. Tonight I want us to consider together the words found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We reference them this morning, the words of the Apostle Paul to his son Timothy in the faith. God would have us to be faithful, to follow through on the commitments that we have made to Him. God wants us to continue on, and He doesn't want us to quit. He wants us to be faithful to the very end. As Paul writes these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8, as he writes those words to Timothy, he understands that he is going through some difficult days. Timothy is struggling with the fact that his mentor, his dearest friend in the ministry, is about to be martyred because of his walk and his love for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Timothy understands that Paul's departure is soon at hand. And no doubt those thoughts would weigh heavy upon Timothy's heart. And Paul here reaches out in love to Timothy, and he seeks to encourage him to be faithful in the ministry, faithful unto the very end. I want you to follow along as I read verses 1 through 8. And then I want to bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together. Paul writes, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come tonight and we ask that as we approach unto the Word of God, that the Spirit of God would take these truths and encourage our hearts and teach us to drive them deep within our own lives, because, Lord, there will be days that we're going to quit. Days that we would rather turn back. Days for which we just would rather just live our lives our way and forget about the Christian way. For at times it seems too hard. The decisions that we've made, we just allow to go by the wayside. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn to be faithful. Faithful in all things, faithful to the very end. Fulfilling our commitments we have made unto you. So, Father, I pray tonight that you would teach us and help us through thy word. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God is worthy of your best, is he not? God is worthy of your all, and he is worthy of my all. He is worthy of your full commitment. Jesus Christ gave his life for you and for me. He sacrificed upon the cross of Calvary that we might be redeemed, that we might live. By his grace and by his mercy, he has made the life that you and I now know possible. He is worthy of our best. He is worthy of our all. He is worthy of our complete commitment. But you know, we live in a day where the world knows very little about such a concept. We don't truly grasp the thoughts of commitment. We start one day and we quit the next. We resolve that this time it'll be different, but it really turns out to be the same old, same old. We give our word and we easily break it. We're willing to follow through with what we have promised if it doesn't interfere with our happiness. And the Church of Jesus Christ is struggling in really all the same ways. We talk about wanting to serve the Lord. We commit to having some part in the ministry. But then there always seems to be something more pressing than our commitment in serving Him. We're willing to serve. But when we serve and when we volunteer to serve, we place conditions upon our service, making it difficult for the pastor or making it difficult for those over those ministries to fully trust us in the end. We'll serve, but I'm going to serve on my terms. We promise to provide for the needs of the church, but what we really mean to say is that we'll meet the needs as long as it never affects my bottom line and as long as it doesn't affect my personal comforts. We wonder why within the church, younger generations don't seem to have our zeal for the Lord. It may honestly be that that zeal is lost because what they have seen modeled before them was the hypocrisy of previous generations. We have talked about commitment, but we've never really followed through. God is worthy of our best. He is worthy of our full commitment unto Him. We can offer no excuse for sure. The road to faithfulness at times is hard, but we need to set the example that others might be able to follow after. In the passage before us tonight, Paul gives to Timothy, first of all, a series of exhortations related to his ministry. to encourage him in his responsibility as a pastor and as a minister, that he would be faithful in the fulfillment of what God had called him to. And then Paul leads him with his example, that in all these things Timothy might be faithful unto the end. Paul desired that his son in the faith would continue strong, and even as we considered this morning, would have a witness at the end of his life that God was worthy of his best. So as we begin tonight, I want to see those exhortations that Paul would give to Timothy. They're found really in the first five verses of this passage of Scripture tonight. And he encourages him in the ministry with respect to five things. I want you to see them with me briefly tonight. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verses 1 through 4 is one exhortation that Paul would give to Timothy. And he would give him the exhortation with regards to preaching. Paul wanted Timothy to understand that preaching is to hold a place of primacy within the church. There is to be the primary responsibility of the pastor to be the preacher and teacher. The task of preacher is a serious task. It's a solemn task. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Those words are solemn words. That reminds Timothy of the seriousness of his task. He is to put preaching first. He is to give himself to the exhortation of the Word of God. Our charge is given before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He will one day judge. Preaching requires that the preacher be ready always to give a reason of the hope that lieth within. Verse 2 says, preach the word. And then he tells us to be instant in season and out of season. We are to be ready at all points in time to be able to give a reason of the hope that lieth within, to be able to encourage and to exhort and teach from the Word of God. And Paul wanted Timothy to know that he had a responsibility to preach that Word and to be ready always. And folks, so ought you and I. You and I have been called to herald the good news of the gospel, and we do not know when the opportunity will come that we will be able to share with someone the news that Jesus Christ can save. And we ought to be ready always to give a reason of that hope that lieth within. We ought to be ready at all times. But preaching also requires that the preacher do some things. Number one, he is to reprove. The word reprove means to convince of the truth by presenting arguments. We are to preach the word, and through the preaching of that word, convince others of the truth. We are to present the truth, that the truth might have its effect in the hearts and lives of others, that they too might be convinced of the truth. It also requires that a preacher rebuke. That means to judge what is wrong. It is never easy to admonish someone else for their wrongdoing. It is never easy to offer truth that might offend, but it's the duty that Timothy had and every preacher has. I believe it's a duty that every father has within his own home. And every man who is a leader within his home, that they would be willing to reprove and to rebuke, to deal with those things which are wrong. Next, he says it also requires that a preacher be ready to exhort. meaning that we would urge others in their duties as a Christian. Why? Why do we need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort in these days? Verse 3 and 4 tells us, because there's a time coming when men won't endure sound doctrine. They would rather to their own lusts heap to themselves teachers who have itching ears and turn away their truth, turn their ears from the truth and listen unto fables. You know, much of what goes on in the name of religion today could be characterized by fables. Every time I think about that kind of a thought, I think back years ago we were invited to a family religious ceremony and my parents felt obligated to go. And so we went, and I remember sitting there in this old, stuffy, I think it was Episcopalian church, maybe Presbyterian, really doesn't make a difference when you get into the whole aspect of what happened that day. But the preacher stood up on the side, and he spent, I believe, about 40 minutes sharing his experiences of bird watching. And the bird in the bush, that's how he kept saying it. I don't know where his accent was from, but the bird in the bush, it's all I remember. Thinking to myself, why do I want to know about the bird in the bush? I don't care about a bird in the bush. I just want you to give me something that matters. For 40 minutes, he talked about this silly bird that he saw, and somehow that was related to child dedication. I don't know how a bird in the bush has anything to do with dedicating your child to the Lord, but that's exactly what he talked about. And I remember people walking, oh, preacher, that was such a wonderful sermon. Really? What did you get from the bird in the bush? Because I got nothing. Much of what happens today within the realm of Christianity is fables. And folks, we ought to make sure that in all that we do, within every ministry of our church, there is the primacy to preaching God's word. Because it's the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than the two-edged sword. It's the word of God that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. It's the word of God that can take a man and take him from a sinner and turn him to a saint. It's the word of God that's important. He goes on, and though when he gives to Timothy yet another exhortation, and this time he exhorts him towards prudence. He says in verse 5, but watch thou in all things. He wants Timothy to be watchful in every area of life, to exercise prudence. The idea of that term, to watch, means to be sober-minded, to be careful, to be circumspect, to walk not as a fool, but as a wise man. If you and I are going to remain faithful in our commitments unto the Lord, then we need to be watching. Because there is an enemy, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to put traps and snares all along the way. He wants to get you off the path that God wants you to be. He wants to discourage you from the commitments that you have made. And we need to be watching in all things. To be sober-minded. To be circumspect. Careful in all things. Next, I want you to note with me, that verse 5 says, but watch thou in all things and endure afflictions. His exhortation here is to perseverance. We are to endure afflictions. We must be willing to persevere for the cause of Christ. Hard times will come. Heartaches are just around the corner. That is a reality that you and I must face. As we want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be attacks and there will be trials and there will be difficulties. Things won't always go our way. They won't work out as we had planned it all out. And we'll go through times of struggle and heartache. But God desires to work all of that for good. And He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Therefore, endure afflictions. Persevere. For Jesus' sake, we need to be willing to persevere. He orders the steps that we take, does He not? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. In those verses, do you find only that those steps are for good or pleasant? Is that only in the sunshine and never in the rain? No, God says, I order all of your steps, whether you go through the valley of darkness or whether you walk in the fields and the plains of the sunshine. He has promised to be with us and order our steps. And everything that comes into our life is for a purpose, and we need to persevere, that we would be faithful unto the end. He gives next the proclamation, or the encouragement, the exhortation to proclaim the gospel. He is called to do the work of the evangelist. He is called to be the bearer of good news. It's our duty to share the joy of our salvation with all those that are around us. We must present to them the simple fact: sin separates man from God. But Jesus Christ will bridge that gap and provide a way of eternal life. Who around you needs to hear the gospel? Who has God put in your path that you might be able to proclaim to them the good news? What coworker around you is open and sensitive at this time? Maybe they're going through a hardship or a heartache and they seem to be more open to spiritual things. Has God brought them into your path that you might be able to present to them the good news? Did God not providentially place you in the home that you live with the neighbors around you that you might be a blessing unto them? That you might be able to witness unto them? That you might be able to share with them who you are and what you believe? Who has God put in your path? Who would God have you to reach with the gospel? Do the work of the evangelist and be faithful. Preach and proclaim the truth of the word of God. His final exhortation is wrapped up in this phrase: make full proof of thy ministry. His exhortation here is to his performance. He is to, as a believer, do all that the Lord has called him to do. He is to make full proof of his ministry. That phrase simply means carry out to completion your God-given task. What's your task tonight? What's God called you to be today? Carry that to completion. What ministry have you been given within the local church? What responsibilities have you volunteered for? Well, complete the task. Whether that be you signed up to work in the nursery, whether that be you sing in the choir, whether that be you teach in Sunday school, whether that is that I have committed that I would come and mow the lawn, whether that be that I would be willing to come and volunteer in some other way. Listen, if you've made the commitment, complete the task. Make full proof. Complete it to the end. Paul is saying to Timothy, listen, you've made a commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to be used as a preacher of the gospel. Make full proof of that ministry. Complete your task. Don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Don't stop serving the Savior. Perform your task unto the end. Be faithful. Those are Paul's exhortations to Timothy. How is it that Timothy, in the days to come, as they become more and more difficult, how is Timothy going to be able to continue to remember these things that Paul has shared? Because, folks, in just a little while, his mentor, his friend, his father in the ministry would no longer be available to Timothy. He would soon be martyred and put to death for Jesus Christ. What's going to help him carry on? Well, Paul will leave for his son in the faith his own personal testimony and example to follow. And that's what we find really beginning in verses 6 and 7 and down through verse 8. That testimony that Timothy could be reminded of. Can I just offer a suggestion to all of you tonight? There is a point in a time within your life and mine that we ought to be able to be willing to share with those around us, and especially those under us, what God has done for us. They need to know. Sir, your wife needs to know what Jesus Christ has done for you, and your children need to know all that has been done in your life.
From the moment of your salvation, through all the trials and the tests of your life, and the things that God has done, the victories that He has brought you through, you ought to be able to leave to them a heritage and a testimony. Grandmom and Grandpa, your grandchildren need to know what God has done for you. I'd encourage you to take some time and write those things out. Leave it with your most important documents and your most important papers. Leave it with your final will and testament. Make sure that everyone gets the packet of information which records for them the spiritual heritage that they have received. Because it is something that will help them through in days to come. And Paul leaves to Timothy this example. He declares he is willing, he is ready now to depart from this present world. He is ready to be with the Lord. And he understood that is far better. And now in verse 7, he relates to Timothy that personal testimony. And in that testimony, it sums up for us the necessary traits for you and I to be faithful to the end. I want you to see those with me tonight. Verse 7 again says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. As part of Paul's testimony to Timothy, he was able to say, Timothy, I have fought a good fight. Timothy, I entered into the battle and I was faithful to the end. He'd fought the good fight. He had faithfully fought for Jesus Christ. If you and I are going to ever remain faithful to the Lord, if we're going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, there's a need for each and every one of us to enter into the battle. There's a need for us to willingly accept that responsibility, to take that challenge and that charge, and to be ready to be a servant for Jesus Christ and enter into the battles that God brings our way. We have been called to be good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ, to fight the good fight of faith. But you and I cannot be a good soldier if we refuse to enter the battle. Several times in his letters to Timothy, Paul would actually encourage and exhort Timothy in that very way. Matter of fact, I want you to look at a couple places with me. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and look at verse 18. 1 Timothy 1:18. Paul says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. Timothy, you are to war a good warfare. You're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Enter into that battle and fight for Him. Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I've been faithful. Go to chapter 6 and look at verse 12 of 1 Timothy. Paul writes and says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Go to 2 Timothy and look at chapter 2. Verse 3. Paul writes and says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fight in the battles. You and I have to be willing to enter into the battle. There's many a Christian today who wants to sit on the sidelines. They want to simply fill a pew and fill up space. But what God is looking for are faithful soldiers willing to fight the good fight of faith. Willing to be faithful and willing to enter into those battles. That battle, you'll remember, is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not with one another. Our battle is not with men upon the earth. We are fighting in a spiritual battle. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are fighting a spiritual battle. We are to stand as good soldiers and fight with the armor of God, using the word of God as the sword and using faith as our shield. God wants us to fight as good soldiers. We are soldiers in the army. We need to enter that battle and not sit on the sidelines. I've always been impressed by the song, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" The verses read, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me unto God?" The answer, sure I must fight if I would reign. "Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, support it by thy word." As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we've got to be willing to take on to us the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand. And we can be fearless in the midst of that battle, because the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy, I fought a good fight. Son, enter the battle. Fight for Jesus Christ. Number two, I have finished my course. I have finished my course. He's alluding to an athlete who runs in a marathon. He is speaking of those willing to enter into such a race and to complete that race, to run and to endure. And that's what he is asking us to do, to endure the test. Paul years earlier expressed his concern that he would finish his race as he met with the Ephesian leaders and the elders. And he wanted them to pray for him that he would be able to complete his task and to be faithful. That prayer was made over 30 years ago, and now he is able to come back to Timothy and say, "I have finished my course." There were many obstacles that he had to face, many hurdles that he had to overcome, and many disappointments that he had to endure. Shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned. Those who once followed him rejected him. Those who once were preaching the good news of the gospel turned and no longer served the Savior. Those were heartbreaks unto him. But Paul was able to say, "I have finished the course. I have endured." How was it that he was able to remain faithful, and how can we? I want you to hold your place here in 2 Timothy. And I want you to go back to that passage of Scripture read to us this morning, that passage which we as a church in many ways have claimed for this year as somewhat of a theme to help us as we continue on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, and see again with me verse 12 and following. Paul writes and says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." If you and I are going to remain faithful and endure every test that comes our way, we have to be willing to forget those things which are behind. Forget the success. Forget the failures. You cannot live in the past. We can't put the hand to the plow and look back. We need to keep going forward for Jesus Christ and be faithful to what He's called us to today. Oh, we can remember the good that God has done, and that can be used to encourage us and to strengthen us, but we can't relive the past. There are new challenges before us. There are new obstacles for us to hurdle. There are new problems for us to face. There are new victories for us to gain. There are new souls that need to be saved. There's new work that needs to be done. We have to be ever pressing on, looking forward, and reaching to those things before. Forget that which is behind, and reach out to those things which are before, and press on to the mark. I read this week, I can't remember her name, of a lady who sought to swim across one of the channels out by San Francisco. She spent about 18 hours in the water, and as she was swimming across that channel, a heavy fog had set in. And she swam and she swam and she swam, and after about 18 hours in the water, she quit. Someone came to her and said, "Why did you quit?" She said, "I couldn't see land, and I got discouraged, so I quit." She later went on to swim that channel again. Same thing happened, by the way. The fog set in. But she continued to press on because she knew there was land and she would reach it soon. In fact, she not only broke the women's world record for such an event, she beat the men's record by 2 hours because she pressed on for the Lord. Paul now goes on to simply say, "Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." His final challenge by way of testimony was, "Timothy, in all that I have done, I have been true to the faith delivered. I have never wavered, even though others, many others had." So the challenge to Timothy is simply this: endeavor to be true. Faithfulness requires that we guard the truth from being lost, that we earnestly contend for that faith. May I say that not only must we guard the faith against the enemies of the gospel, we have to guard it in our own lives also. That's why Paul would say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You and I need to be students of the word of God, and we need to endeavor to remain true unto that faith delivered unto us. There are many today who continue to attack the truth, who seek to take that which has been given unto us and pervert that truth. We have a responsibility to contend and to fight for the truth. God has put it into our care, and we need to study that we rightly divide His word. We need to strive then to live obediently to that word. As God's word is delivered unto you and me, we're responsible to live obediently unto that. Many strayed because when challenged by the word of God, they just refused to accept it. They refused to obey it in every way. Now, as you and I come and we meet together week after week, Sunday after Sunday, and Wednesday after Wednesday, I believe it's God's desire in your life and in my life to give us a truth that will change us and conform us to the image of His Son. I believe every time you walk through those doors, God has something He wants to change in you. He wants to mold you and make you more like Christ. You and I have been predestinated that we be conformed to the image of Christ. You and I are in a process called sanctification, and none of us have yet reached glorification. Now some think we're glorified saints. We've reached it all. You have not gotten there yet. Neither have I. We'll get there one day when we see Him face to face and we are like Him, for we will see Him as He is. Folks, that's on the other side of glory. You and I today have still much to learn, still much to improve, and still much to be more conformed to His image on. There's some area that we need to be humbled in. There's some area that we need to be pure in. There's some area of our life that we need more wisdom in. And God wants to mold us, and God wants to shape us as the potter molds the clay. And as He gives to us that truth, we need to stay true unto it. We need to live in obedience unto it. And Paul was able to say to Timothy, Timothy, I have kept the faith. I've been faithful. And now I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go and see my Savior. Paul could say at the end of his life, he was faithful. And he was sure, verse 8, that God in turn will reward him. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Keep going on for the Lord. Enter the battle. Continue on for him. Endure every test. And endeavor to be true and live in obedience to his word. Why? Because God will promise to reward those who've been faithful. There's a need today within the realm of Christianity, within the church, that we understand what full commitment is all about. And folks, God's worthy of that commitment. He's worthy of that in your life, and he's worthy of that in mine. He is worthy of your best. He is worthy of your all. Nothing is to be withheld from him. Our lives are to be consecrated unto him. We are to give ourselves a living sacrifice, and every commitment that we have made, we are to be faithful in. As God ministers to your heart, as he reveals to you truth, there's a need for you and I to be faithful. Things aren't always going to go your way. At times, you're going to want to just quit. It'd be so much easier just to give up. And folks, there are days for all of us, we all feel that way. You wake up in the morning, you want to pull the covers right back over. Forget it, I don't want to even face this day. I know I'm going to fail. I might as well just quit now. Throw the covers down, put the feet on the floor, and get going. Because God will help you through that day. His grace is sufficient for you. Do you believe his word? Can you trust him with all of your heart? Then take him at his word, claim his promises, enter the battle. When the tests come, don't quit. Just keep enduring through. You may jump over a hurdle and you may hit the ground flat. A righteous man falls 7 times, and 7 times he gets up again and continues on in the battle. Endeavor to be true. There's going to be signs along the way. Come, enjoy some rest. Ignore the sign and be true. You don't need to keep following Jesus Christ. Come do your own thing. Seek your own pleasure. You're deserving of it all. Ignore that sign and keep on running for Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes fixed on that final mark, that final banner, and press on that you might cross the finish line and be able to give to someone else these words. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And there's a crown of righteousness awaiting me. At the end of Hebrews 11, you find Hebrews 12. And in Hebrews 12, we're reminded that there's a great crowd, a cloud of witnesses. And the image is simply to those of us who are still running in the race, that there are others who have run before. And in essence, the concept is as you run the race, they are watching you. And encouraging you and exhorting you with this truth. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Brethren, we need to be faithful to the very end. That we would be a testimony of his grace and a witness of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we're able to come and gather together, that we're able to consider thy word and thy truth. Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us here. That, Lord, we be faithful to the commitments that we have made. That we not go back. Lord, there will be days that things are hard. Lord, there's going to be days where we're just going to want to quit. Throw in the towel. But, oh, Father, may we keep our eyes ever fixed on Jesus Christ. forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, let us press on. That we would be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Lord, that's a life with no regret. That's a life well-pleasing unto you. That's a life of faith. And Father, I pray that you'd help us be consecrated. That we'd be willing to make our sacrifice. And then, Father, give you our all, and in every commitment be faithful. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.